Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ayin Amud Bet. Gemara is continuing to discuss the progress of the Seder Avodat Yom HaKippurim. Gemara brings a brighter now. Tana Rabbanan, Uva Aron El Ol Moed. It says in the Pasuk that Aron comes to Ol Moed, that's found in Parshat Achrei Mot. After he sends out the Seir Lazazel, it says, Uva Aron El Ol Moed, Fashad Bigdei Abad, Asher Levash, Bevo El HaKodesh V'Nicham Sham. He goes into the Ol Moed and takes off the clothing that he'd been wearing until now. Until now, he's been doing Avodat HaYom, Avodat Yom HaKippurim, which is done in the Big Day Lavan. Over here it says that he enters into Ol Moed to take off the clothing that he had worn until this point in time. So there are two questions here. First of all is, what's he doing inside of the Ol Moed? Why does he have to go into Ol Moed? We have no indication what he's doing there. Number two is, why is he taking off his clothing over there in the Ol Moed? So here the Braita says, Tanu Rabbanan uvaron Ol Moed, lama hu ba? Why is he going in there? Lotzia taka feta machka. The Gemara says that he's in there for a purpose, and that's to go back into the Kodesh HaKodeshim to take out the ladle and the pan that he used to do the Ktoret Lifnayim Liftim. He goes in there to take it back out. Shekola Parsha Kula Nimra Ala Seder. The entire Parsha of Achrei Mot is written in order. Chutz Mi Pasuk Zeh. Except for this Pasuk, which is written out of order. If you look at the Avodot, or the list of the Avodot Yom HaKippurim, then the Gemara is suggesting over here that the entire parsha of Achrei Mot is written in order, with the exception of this pasuk. My taima, what's the reason for that? Amar Chista Gemire. We have a mesora, chamesh tefilot v'asara kiddushim tovel kohen gadol u'mechadesh bo bayom. The kohen gadol goes to the mikvah 5 times on that day and washes his hands and his feet 10 times. And we know that every time he changes his clothing, he has to go to the mikveh and do 2 times that he washes his hands and his feet. The way that we have the parsha set up, you would have the Avodat HaBoker, the morning Avodat that's done in the big days of Hav, the normal Tamid Shel Shachar. Then in Parsha Achrei Mot, the way it's laid out, he would do all of the Avodat HaYom, all of the day's work, all the Avodat HaYom of Yom HaKippurim, which is done in the big day Lavan. He would complete that. After he's finished that, he would come out with his big day Azav, finish off anything that's mentioned in Achrei Mot, as well as the Musafim, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and everything else. If I did that, he'd only end up switching his clothing 3 times. He'd be in the big days of Hav in the morning, big day Lavan during the day to do the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, and big days to have after he finishes that to finish off the Avodat HaYom. That only ends up with 3 tevilot. He'll end up in the mikvah 3 times, and that will not accomplish what we have in Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, that he has 5 times that he goes into tevilah. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta, exactly what the Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai was, but because of that, he needs to create an additional changing of clothing. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Because of that, yeah, Mark is Sidran Kedivei. If you just say we go in the order that it's written in the Parsha, Lo Mishkachat La Elishalosh Tevilot Vishishakidushin. He'll end up with 3 times that he goes to the mikveh and 6 times that he washes his hands and his feet. So obviously we can't leave it that way. We have to alter something here in order to end up with another Tevilah or another 2 Tevilot to end up the day. So what the Gemara suggests over here is that Hotzad Agafa Machta is out of order. Since it's out of order, what you'll have is the Avodat HaYom in the morning, which is the Big Day Azav, the Avodat Yom HaKippurim in the Big Day Lavan, which is the main section which is written in Achrei Mot. Then he'll go back out and do Avodat with the Big Day Zahav, and then change back for a second time into the Big Day Lavan to do one thing, that's to go in and get the Kaf HaMachta out, and then finish up the rest of the Avodot. But what the Gemara says is that Pasuk is out of order. Out of order means that the way it's written in Parsha Achrei Mot, it's part of all the Avodot that are done in the Big Day Lavan. He wouldn't have to switch at all. He'd go into the Big Day Lavan once and he'd be done. But instead, the way the Gemara is doing this is they have him go into the Big Day Lavan twice because they say this Pasuk is out of order. And that's to accomplish the Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai that he changes his clothes 5 times, so he'll end up with 5 tefilot and 10 times that he has Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Matkiv La Rabbi Zeira, V'dimo Mafsik Lei B'Sara Nesei B'Chutz. Who says that you have to move around that which is found in Achrei Mot? I have a different way to create day 5 to be loaded, and that is the Seir Bachutz, the Seir Chatat of the Musafim. Because it says there, Milvad Chatat HaKiburim. Besides for the Chatat, the Seir Lashem that is brought on Yom Kippur, you have the Chatat that is done Bachutz. So why don't you do this? You'll do the Avodot Yom HaKippurim, then you'll do the Seir Bachutz, because that's connected to the Seir Lashem. That'll make him change into the Big Day HaZahav to do that. And then you'll change back into the Big Day Lavan to finish off the rest of the Avodat HaYom. And then you'll switch into Big Day HaZahav again. So that way you create the 5 tefilot that you want without having to take anything out of order in the parsha. The only thing you're doing out of order has to do with something that's found in Parsha Pinchas, nothing to do with this parsha over here. Amar Abaye. The problem is that the psukim over here say that after he finishes off the avodah of the Yom HaKippurim, it says, "V'rachatzi b'sro b'mayim v'machom chadosh, v'lavashi b'gadav, v'yatza v'asa tolato v'olat ha'am." He goes out and he does his ola, that's the ayil, and the olat ha'am, which is the ela ha'am, and whether that's also the ela musafim, we saw yesterday that machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, chiper b'ado v'ad ha'am. So the Gemara darshins about that, v'yatza v'asa tolato v'olat ha'am, that that has to be yitziyah rishona avir elo v'ela ha'am. As soon as he exits the Avodat HaYom HaKippurim in the Big Day Levan, the first thing that he attends to, the first thing that he does, is Elo Ve'el Ha'am. Now based on that, you can't have the Sir Bachutz be much earlier, or something before that, and interrupt the Avodah, because it says here, as soon as he exits from doing the Avodat HaYom, the first thing he's going to attend to is the Elo Ve'el Ha'am. So that suggestion of the Sir Bachutz does not work. This also influences the Gra's opinion yesterday as to what the order is according to Rabbi Akiva. When he exits the Big Day Levan, the Gra in yesterday's daf, I put it together in the chart, you can see that, is that the first thing he does when he comes out is the Elo ve'el ha'am, and then the Seir lechatat. Whereas all the other Rishonim, including Rashi, have the Seir b'chutz first, and then only afterwards the Elo ve'el ha'am. The Gra is obviously influenced by what is said here in the Gemara, that the first thing he does when he exits has to be the Elo ve'el ha'am. Rava Amar. Now, Rava is not answering the question that was asked by Rabbi Zeira, but rather answering the question of why it's written out of order over here, or how do you know it's written out of order? Because it's Amakra. The pasuk says, with regards to that cryptic pasuk that we read before, "Varon Elom Leit Ufashat Bigdei Abad Asher Lavash Bevola Kodesh Minicham Sham." Now it says, "Ufashat Bigdei Abad Asher Lavash." He has to take off the clothing that he's wearing. Well, what other clothing would he be taking off unless it's the clothing that he's wearing? So based on that, Rava says, Shaintamadomar Shalavash. It doesn't have to say a shalavash. Lomadam poshet alamashalovish. You only take off what you're wearing. Almata mudomar. So then what is the extraneous words here of a shalavash? Shalavash kvar. The clothing that he already wore. Meaning this is the second time that he's wearing it. Why is it the second time he's wearing it? Oh, that must be that the kaf and machtar are out of order. And he put back on the Big Day Lavan. And that's what it means, the Pashad Vigadava Shalavash. This is the second time he's wearing the Big Day Lavan. And that's how Rova has the limud that the kaf and machta is out of order here, because if you leave it in order, he's still wearing the Big Day Lavan from all the avodah he did in the beginning of Achrimot, or through the parsha of Achrimot. The only way to have created that he actually switched into the Big Day Lavan again is to move that out of its place in parsha at Achrimot. Now, matki v'lo araba barab shilo, ve'ima damapsik lebisar nesebachutz. So he challenges Rova the same way that they challenged Abaye before. Why don't you say that the Seir Bachutz is what creates that interruption? Haktiv, ve'atza v'asa. He has the same limud that Abaye has with regards to Olah. It says ve'atza v'asa. That he has to do it exactly in, he has to do the Elo ve'elam, has to be the first item he does after he finishes in the Big Day Lavan. And that won't be the case if he uses the Seir Bachutz to create the interruption earlier on to switch his clothing. Where it says, b'chol parasha kula ne'emra l'seder. Is it so true that everything that's written in Achrimot is in order? Listen to the psukim, it says, v'chelev ha'chatat yaktir ha'mizbecha. The chelev ha'chatat refers to the chelev of the par and the sa'ir that were naseh bifnim, they have to put on mizbech. V'hadar, and afterwards it says, v'par ha'chatat v'sir ha'chatat, the par ha'chatat and sir ha'chatat, which deals with the sreifata par and the sreifata sa'ir, which is done outside of Yerushalayim. V'ilu anan t'mnan, in our mission we saw before, haruet going adol k'shu koreh, enu re par sa'ir nisrafim. A person who sees the Kohen Gadol reading the Torah cannot be present when they're burning the par and the Seir. That means they're happening simultaneously. We saw before in the Mishnah that when he's laning, he can lane in his Big Day Lavan. He just finished up the Avodat HaYom. Whereas, Vilu Merei Chatat, Batar Hachim Akdilu. The Merei Chatat are done in the Big Day Zahav after he finishes the laning, when he's already back in the Big Day Zahav. So despite the fact that in Pasuk Chaf Hei, it tells you that he has to be Makriv the Chatat, the fats of the par and seir should be fnim on the mizbeach achitom. And in pasuk chav zayin, it says that the par and the seir chatat have to be burnt michutz lamachaneh. We know that's clearly not in order because he burns them at the time that he's reading the Torah, or it's being burnt at the time that he's reading the Torah. And the emurim only go on the mizbeach once he changes into the big dezahav later on. So the Gemara says, ema chutz mi pasuk ze veilach. Now, don't understand it that just this pasuk is out of order. Pasuk Chav Gimel that deals with the That's not the only pasuk that's out of order. Everything from there onward is not necessarily in order. Until that point, everything is exactly in order. From that point forward, things are not necessarily in order. Gemara says, I don't understand. You have psukim that are in order. You have a Mishnah that tells you it's out of order. Why would you switch around the psukim to accord with the Mishnah? Switch the Mishnah so it matches with the psukim. Why would you mess up the order? There's no reason to do that. So Rabbi Amakra, the pasuk says, v'hamishaleach v'asoreif. The final psukim that are written here in that Avodat Yom HaKippurim is, v'shaleach et asir lazazel yechabez begadav. Then it says you burn the chatat and the seir, and then it says v'asoreif otam. When it burns them, yechabez begadav. Mamishaleach demikara. Over here, when it says the mishaleach et asir, the one who sends out the seir, he becomes tamei and his clothing is tamei. It's clear that he's not sending the seir mishaleach right now. That already took place much earlier. The pasuk says that the goyin sends it with ishiti amidbara. And it says, the Kohen Gadol already sent it off into the Midbar with the person who's taking it. So HaMishaleach is clearly referencing back to the time that it was sent earlier. Av Sareif. So too the word Sareif, the same type of verb that is used here to open that Pasuk about the Sreifat Paran Chatat, is the Mikara. It's talking about earlier. The Sreifat was done earlier. And that's why it's out of order, because the Pasuk itself tells you this is a reference, a flashback to something that happened earlier. Or it says, Adarabo, why don't you read it this way? Mas soreif dahashto. The word soreif, there's no reason to believe that it was beforehand and not now, because we don't have the sreifa mentioned beforehand. So why don't we say, just like the sreifa is now, so too, afa mishaleach dahashto. So too, when ascending, when he becomes the mate, that's happening now. When it said before in the psukim that the Kohen Gadol sent him out, it means he gets the seir mishaleach ready to carry out the avonot that are going to be sent. But he only sends the individual much later. Why don't you say that? Where it says, because of Mishaleach, Mikara Mashma. The word Mishaleach, when you use it, the person who was sent, that sounds like it already happened. He was sent previously. And since Mishaleach is an indicative term that means something happened prior to this and not presently, therefore that's the guiding principle over here, and we're going to match the Soreif to the HaMishaleach. And for that reason, even though the psukim are written at the end, they're clearly referencing events that took place earlier. And so too by the Sreifat, the Par and the Seir, it took place earlier, even though it's written after the placing of the fats on the Mizbech HaChitzon, which takes place after it. Rav Amar, Rav says, no, this is the answer. Amar Kara, Yamod Chai. It says about the Seir Mishaleach that it has to stay alive, meaning the Seir LaShem goes to be a Chatat, the Seir Bifni, and the Seir LaZel is Yamod Chai. Ad Matai Yezokuk Yamod Chai. How long does the Seir Azel have to be alive? Ad Shat Kapara. Until the Kapara is done with regards to the Seir Bifnim. Ve'matai Shat Kapara. Shat Matan Damim. When does that Kapara happen? When the Matnot Dam of the Seir Hashem is taking place. Ve'tulo. So then, there's no necessity after that for the Seir Azel to be out. So therefore, it's a proof that the Shiluach happened much earlier. There's no way that he's waiting or tarrying until now to send out the Seir Azel, because the Seir Azel goes out already at the time that the Seir LaShem is being done. And when the Seir LaShem is being done and the Matnot Dam are done, that's as long as the Seir has to stand there. After that, it's sent off to go to the Midbar and pushed off the cliff. So Rav says to you, there's no way that the Mishaleach takes place all the way later on, because that's not matching what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is Yamod Chai. It only stays alive and stays there as long as you're doing the Matnot Dam of the Seir LaShem. Once you completed that, it goes out. And so therefore it's clear that the Mishaleach happened at an earlier stage. And now the Gemara says, Ata Mishaleach, if the person who, the Ishiti, who took the Seir LaZazel at the Midbar, Matzo B'Shuk, the Kohen Gadol, the next day he bumps into the Kohen Gadol, Motzei Yom HaKippurim, he bumps into the Kohen Gadol in the Shuk, Omerlo, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, Mr. Kohen Gadol, Asinu Shlichutcha, we did your bidding, we carried out your agency. Matzo B'Beito, if he bumps into him in his house, he sees the Kohen Gadol in his house, Omerlo, Mechaye Chaim, Asinu Shlichuto. Chaye Chaim, the one who grants life, we have done his agency. What you see is that he bumps into the Kohen Gadol in the Shuk, he has to give kavod to the Kohen Gadol. So he addresses the statement to the Kohen Gadol and says, we did your bidding, Kohen Gadol. But if he goes to the Kohen Gadol in his house, where it's not in public, and he doesn't have to offer that type of kavod to the Kohen Gadol, he attributes it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was the one who asked us to do the sending. Kohen Gadol is only acting on behalf of Hashem, So then he gives the praise to Hashem himself and says, Mechaye Chayim, the one who grants life, meaning Hashem, Asinu Shlichuto. We did his bidding, we did his agency, and that's I carried out the Shlichut of taking the Seir Lazazel out to the Tzuk. Amar Rabbo, Ki Miftari Rabbonim El Dodi, when the Rabbonim take leave of each other, Pumpadita Amrei Hachi. This is what they say. Mechaye Chayim, Itein Lecha Chayim Arukim, V'tovim U'metuganim. So he says, along the lines of what the Kohen Gadol was addressed, what the Mishaleach says to the Kohen Gadol, that's why it's found here. Rabbi says, when the Rabbanan depart from each other, they say, Mechaye Chayim, the one who grants life, meaning a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Itein Lecha Chayim Arukim, should grant you a long life, V'tovim, and a good life, U'metuganim, and the life of righteousness, or Yashrut. Etalech b'fnei Hashem baratzot ha'chayim. I should walk before Hashem in the land of life. Am Rav Yehuda zeh machom shvachim. That is a place that has marketplaces. So Rashi notes over here, this since we're talking about chayim, they're darshaning all different things with regards to chayim. And over here, Rav Yehuda says that a city that has shvachim in it, that a person has marketplaces, then he always has the ability to purchase his food and access a livelihood. And said by David HaMelech, who was forced to be on the run. When he's forced to be on the run, he doesn't have that opportunity or that ability to just walk into the supermarket and buy what he needs. So that's what a great life. What's it? Tzotachayim means I'll be settled. I'll be in a place where I can enjoy life because I'll be able to get my mizonot readily and it will be available to me. Korach yamim ushnot chayim shalom yosif lecha. Korach yamim should have a long life. Ushnot chayim and years of life. Bishalom and peace, Yosif Alecha, they should add on to you. So when I ask, V'cheyeshanim shel chayim, V'yeshanim she'enam shel chayim, is there such a thing as years of life and years of not life? As long as you're years, then of course you're alive. So what does it mean, shnot chayim? Am Rav Elazar, elu shnotav shel adam, hamit habchot alav, mira'a litova. These are the years of one's life that change from bad to good. Which is that someone who had a difficult life for, went through a lot of travails, but in the end things turn out okay, and he gets to enjoy a life in the end, that enjoyment in the end allows him to reflect back on everything that happened and makes all of his shnot chayim, brings to life all of those years. So that's David HaMelech, despite the difficulties that he faced early on in his life, in the end, when he ascends the throne and things are much better for him, he's able to look back and say about that, that those are shnot chayim, those are days of life. As Rashi is the example, someone who was in poverty their whole life and then gets wealthier as they get older towards the end of their life, then, kilu achshav naseh chai mitoch mita. It's as if he comes to life through the death, meaning that he's able to now have his years come to life, whereas before he lived through a much darker period. Aleichem ishim ekra, to you I will call out to men. Amar brechya elu tamid chachamim shodomim lenashim. These are tamid chachamim that are like women. Rashi points out because it says ishim instead of anashim. Therefore, it's a reference to women. Voseg vurak anashim. But they do acts of might like a man. Meaning that they are, as Rashi says, amantanim v'teshushe koach. They're humble individuals. They're weak because they're sitting and learning all day. But yet, they still perform vura because of their limud haTorah and their connection with Hashem. They're masim or masim vura. Not of strength in the physical sense, but in strength of what they do in terms of leading Klal Yisrael and the salvation that they provide for Klal Yisrael. Amar Brechia, Rotzen HaSech Yayin Al Gami Mizbeach. One wants to accomplish the equivalent of pouring a wine libation on Mizbeach. Yimalei Gronam Shel Talmidei Chachamim Yayin. He should provide wine to the Talmidei Chachamim. Obviously that means he should support or take care of the needs of the Talmidei Chachamim, Yayin being the major drink in their time. So it means to support them. Shenemar Aleichem Ishim Ekra. So over here, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, on you I shall call out Ishim. They had the same question with regards to the Ritzei in Shemona Esrei. It says, V'ishei Yisrael utfilatam. So the Ishei there, the Ishei can refer to people, or Ishei can refer to the Korbanot, or the fire. So they're playing the same thing over here. In one instance we said Ishim, referring to Ish, or over there, Isha. And over now, the Gemara is playing on the word Ishin to mean Esh, the fire. So Aleichem Ishim Ekra. I will call it as if you have provided something for the fire, for the Mizbeach. That's if you take care of the Talmid Chachamim. It'll be as if you were brought the libations on the Mizbeach. Amar Abrechia, Imroi Adam, Shetorah Posegen Mizaro. The person sees that from his descendants, that Torah is starting to weaken or dissipate. Isaba Talmid Chacham. He should marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham. Shenemar. Im Yaskin Baretz Shorsho. If the roots in the ground, in the earth, have grown old, Ubafar Yamut Gizol, and the trunk has now wilted in the ground. Mereach Mayim Yafriach. As soon as there's a little bit of water that comes up, it will smell from the sense of water. Yafriach, it will bud again. Vosek Hatsir Kamonata. And it will produce a harvest like a sapling, or it will produce boughs like that of a plant, in that it comes back to life, it will be reinvigorated. So too over here, marrying the Bat Talmud Chacham can reinvigorate what seems to be a loss of Torah, or a diminishment of the Chashivut HaTorah within the family. V'yom tov haya oseh lo avav, Tanu Rabbanan, Maseh b'Kohen Gadol Echad, Sheyatza mi'Beit HaMikdash. It was a case where one Kohen Gadol came out of the Beit Mikdash, Rabu Azlei Guli Alma Batrei. Everybody was following him, they were accompanying him, they were celebrating with him. Emet Mah Ne'adar, Aya Kohen Gadol B'Tzeito Mikodesh HaKodashim. So they, everybody was going with them. Kevin dechazinu l'shamayu v'avtalyon. They got wind. They saw shamayim v'avtalyon were coming. Shavkua. They dumped the Kohen Gadol. L'didei. V'azlei batar shamayim v'avtalyon. They followed shamayim v'avtalyon. Safatu shamayim v'avtalyon lifturei minei. And then shamayim v'avtalyon came to depart from the Kohen Gadol. Minei the Kohen Gadol. They came to depart from the Kohen Gadol. Amar lahen yatun b'nei amemin l'shalem. So he granted them leave and says, you from the other nations, you should go in peace. So that was a slight to Shmaya Talion, who were converts. They were Mnei Banav Shel Sancheriv, and he spoke to them in such a manner that was inappropriate or unbecoming. Amrulei Yetun Bnei Amimin L'Shalem Da'abdin Uvda Da'arom. You're right. Those that come from the other nations should go in peace, because they do what Aaron did, which is Rodev Shalom. V'loyte Bar Aaron L'Shalem. But Bar Aaron, you, the descendant of Aaron, who doesn't act appropriately, should not go to Shalom, because you didn't act like Aaron. You're not Rodei Shalom. You're not acting properly. Here you were what's called Onat Divarim. You're in violation of Lo Tonu Ishet Amito. That here you did something that degraded us. You spoke about our past, which you're not allowed to do. And because of that, that's not acting like Aaron. So they made a point to him that your behavior is unbecoming of a descendant of Aaron. We, Shmaya Avtalion, we might not be Kohanim, we might be from other nations, but we're acting like Aaron. And therefore, we're deserving of that kavod. You, who is a descendant of Aaron, who acts in this manner, is certainly not deserving of going l'shalom, to depart in peace. So they gave him feedback about his inappropriate behavior. Now the Mishnah says, Kohen Gadol mishamesh b'shmona kelim. Kohen Gadol, when he does a vod on the Mikdash, has 8 vestments. Ve'ejot v'arba. And the Yadyot has 4. What are those 4? The ketonet, the tunic, michnasayim, the knickers, the pants, mitznefet, the hat, vabnet, and the belt. Mosiv alav Kohen Gadol, in addition to those 4, the Kohen Gadol also has these additional 4, which is the choshen, the breastplate, the ephod, the apron, mi'il, the outer coat, vitzitz, and the headband with the Shem Hashem on it. Be'elu nishalim be'urim v'tumim. With these 8 vestments, the Kohen Gadol can ask for advice or for response from the Urim Tumim. Now, another statement. Ve'en nishalim el lamelech ula beitin el misha tzibur tzarich bo. The only people who are allowed to inquire and get an answer in terms of the Urim v'tumim is the king, the head of beitin, or beitin in general, the question about the girsa, ula misha tzibur tzarich bo, or anybody who is essential to the leadership of the tzibur. It's not about private requests. This is about requests on behalf of Klal Yisrael as a whole. So representatives that represent Klal Yisrael as a whole, like the king, the Av Beit Din, or generically someone who the Tzibur needs, they can make requests of the Urim Tumim to get answers. Hagemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Farim Shneimar Bahen Shesh, Hutan Kaful Shisha. Mara's going to bring a braita, which we won't deal with actually until tomorrow's daf, but we'll have one little piece of it we'll deal with now and the remainder tomorrow, which is that anything that has Shesh written by it, then their threads are 6 ply. Mashzar, if it has the word mashzar used there, shmona, then it is 8 ply. Mi'il, the mi'il of the Kohen Gadol is made, shneimasar, it's made of 12 ply. Parochet, the parochet is esrim ba'arba, it's made out of 24. Choshen ve'efod esrim b'shmona. Choshen ve'efod are made out of 28. Hutan, hafol, shisha, minalan. How do you know that all the materials that are mentioned here by the Big Day Kuna and by the Klei HaMishkan, that their threads have to be 6 ply? You just said to me, that was the beginning of the Braita, and that's the only thing I will address now, the remainder will address tomorrow, is how do you know that the basis or the default status of any material that's being used here is 6-ply. Gemara says, Gazdal Makro. The Pasuk says in Parshat Pekudei, Vayasu et hakatnot sheish maseoreg, laron ulevanav, vet hamitznefet sheish, vet parei hamigbaot sheish, vet mechnesei abad sheish masar, vet avnet sheish masar, utchelet vargamal mitulat shani maserokeim, kasher tziva Hashem Moshe. So here you have all the bigadim of the big day of the Kohen Ajot, and in each instance the word sheish is mentioned. It says katnot sheish, which is a katnot, the tunic. Then it says mitznefet sheish, the hat. Parei amigbaot sheish, the mechnesei abad and mechnesayim, the knickers, the pants are sheish, and the abnet, the belt is sheish. So here you have all the items of the going out mentioned, and it says sheish every time. Why is it necessary to repeat the word sheish so many times? You could have written the word sheish once and mentioned all the bigadim. So here the bright explains us. Damar gra, ve'suvad akhanot sheish, ve'te mitznefet sheish, ve'parei amigbaot sheish, ve'te mechnesei abad sheish, mazar, chamisha krei. Here you have five times the word sheish is mentioned in the pasuk. One of them to teach you that it actually has to be made out of sheish, which is the kitna nabu, that they are made out of linen. One of them can teach you that they have to be 6-ply from the word sheish, not meaning sheish as in linen, but sheish as in the number 6, so they have to be 6-ply. One of them to teach you that they have to be spun, twisted. One of them to teach you bigadim, they don't have the word sheish mentioned in them, that they're also 6-ply. And one to tell you that it's ma'akev. Like we said before in Kodashim, anytime something is ma'akev in Kodashim, you have to repeat it twice. So the first time it tells you sheish, that would be the mitzvah that has to be 6-ply. Second time to tell you that not only is it the mitzvah, but it's ma'akev, that it has to be 6-ply in order to make the big day kuna. Mar says, my mashna, the high sheish kitnahu. How do you know this sheish means linen? I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Damagra, bad. It doesn't just say sheish, it also says bad. Et mechneseya bad sheish. So we know that the word bad is used here, and we know that the bad means linen. How do we know the word bad means linen? The bar sholam in akarka bad bad. Something that comes out of the ground singly, individually. So that is flax. Flax, only the center trunk produces the flax. And when you take it out, each thread is separate or individual. Vema imra. Why isn't that true by wool as well? Mar says, Imra ifzule mitzala. When it comes to wool, wool splits. Wool splits, are you able to pull it apart? Mar says the same thing with pishtan. You can also pull apart the threads of pishtan. Mar says there's a difference. Kitna agav likutei mafzil. Only if you smash it or bang it does it split. But that's not true. By Imra, you can just pull it apart and it'll split. Ravina mar mehocha. Ravina says, no, we can actually learn it out from the pasuk in Yechezkel. Pare pishtim yual rosham. Umechnesei pishtim yual matnehem. So over there you see that the parim, which are mentioned here, pare migbaot, and the mechnesayim that are mentioned here also in Yechezkel, here it says sheish, there it says pishtim. So we know that sheish must mean pishtim. Amalei Ravashi, v'amekami dati Yechezkel man amra. Well, until you had the pasuk in Yechezkel, how did you know that it was made out of linen? Uletameich, the Gemara says, well, according to your question now, Hadam Rav Chista, Davar Zeh Mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu. This item we didn't learn out of the Torat Moshe. Midivrei Yechezkel ben Buzi Lamadnu, but we learned it out from the Navi Yechezkel. Kol ben Nechar, Arel Lev, Arel Basar, Lo Yovo El Migdashi. Over there it defines ben Nechar not only as an Arel Basar, someone who's uncircumcised, but also Arel Lev. Someone whose heart is uncircumcised means that they are Nitnakru Masav Aviv Shebashamayim. That's someone who is an apostate, someone who leaves the faith. And from that, we learn out what the meaning of Ben Nechar is with regards to Korban HaPesach. That a Kol Ben Nechar can't participate in the Korban HaPesach. Gemara says, HaMekami Dati Yechezkel Man Amro. So before Yechezkel came along, who was the one who told us about this? That Ben Nechar also meant someone Shenitnakru Masav L'Aviv Shebashamayim. El Gemara Gemira Lo. It's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Vata Yechezkel V'Asmecha Akra. That originally it was Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Later on, Yechezkel actually codified it by writing it down the pasuk. Hachanami, so to in our case, Gemara Gemirila. We know that the halacha the Moshe Mitzinai is the Mesorah is that the word sheish means pishtim. And then finally, Yechezkel wrote it in the pasuk to teach us that pishtim, that halacha the Moshe Mitzinai is now written so that we can see it in the pasuk in Yechezkel. But that means until that point in time, it was part of the Mesorah. And that's how we know that the big deguna have to be made out of sheish, have to be made out of pishtan. Over here, Tosafot discusses what exactly is Pishtan. He says, Midlo parich veima canvas, shigam hu oleh bad bebad. Why don't they mention canvas over here? That also comes up individually. Hey, medaktek Rabbeinu Ephraim Zatzal. So Rabbeinu Ephraim used to be medaktek from this. Demanu korim canvas hu Pishtan. But we call canvas, that's Pishtan. That is a din of linen. And therefore, you can't put it together with tzemer, with wool. Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen Zatzal doche. He used to dismiss this. Dalo parich be'ema canvas, mishom de bigadim k'tiv. Canvas is not a material that's used for clothing. By the big day kuna, it says they are bigadim, they're clothing. V'chol bigadim stam shebetorat tzemeru pishtim. And we know from the dinim by Torah and other places that a stam beged in the Torah is made out of wool and linen. Those are the two materials used for bigadim. So if that's the case, canvas is not even in the running. So the only question is it linen or is it wool? And so you can't prove anything from here that the Gemara doesn't mention canvas. Doesn't mean that canvas is Pishtan or synonymous with Pishtan. So then the Ritzbah says, okay, that works well according to the Tanna debate. Rabbi Shmo says that the din of Begadim in the Torah is Tzemeru Pishtim. Of all the Rabbonon who argue and say that's not true, that Begad can be made out of any material, then what can you say over here? How do you answer this? Tosfot says, maybe we have to explain this differently. That Bad Babad here does not mean that it comes up in a single stalk, but rather that every seed only produces a single stalk. He said, if you explain it that way, then we're okay. Because canvas is not that way. Because it says that there's a mesora that canvas grows in a way that even when you put in one seed, multiple stalks can come out of that one seed. You're right that the material itself only comes from a single stalk and a single thread from each, a single item from each stalk. But they grow multiple stalks from a single seed, which is not true by Pishtan, which grows one seed, grows a single stalk. And that was what the Chachamim were focused on over here to say that Bad means Pishtan, means linen over here. Okay, we'll stop over here.